By the time I roll into the office, 4 hours late and yawning with sleep deprivation, Harriet is hopping around the common room as if her feet are on fire, angrier than I've ever seen her before. Unfortunately, according to the matrix management system we operate, she's my boss for 30% of the time, during which I'm a technical support engineer. For the other 70%, I report to Angleton, and I can't really tell you what I am, except that it involves being yanked out of bed at 0400 hours to answer code blue alerts. Harriet is a back office suit, mousy and skinny, 40-something, and dried up from spending all those years devising forms in triplicate with which to terrorize field agents. People like Harriet aren't supposed to get excited about anything. The effect is disconcerting, like opening a tomb and finding a breakdancing mummy.
Robert, where on earth have you been? What kind of time do you call this? McLuhan's been waiting on you. You were supposed to be here for the License Policy Management Committee meeting 2 hours ago.
I yawn and sling my jacket over the coat rack next to the C department coffee station. Been called out, I mumble. Code blue alert. Just got back from Milton Keynes.
Code blue? She asks, alert for a slip. Who signed off on it?
Angleton. I hunt around for my mug in the cupboard over the sink, the one with a poster on the front that says, Curious Eyes Cost Lives. The coffee machine is mostly empty, full of black tarry stuff, alarmingly similar to the toxic waste they make roads out of. I hold it under the tap and rinse. His budget, don't worry about it. Only he pulled me out of bed at 4 in the morning and sent me off to... I put the jug down to refill the coffee filter. Never mind, it's cleared. Harriet looks as if she's bitten into a biscuit and found half a beetle inside. I'm pretty sure that it's not anything special. She and her boss Bridget simply have no higher goal in life than trying to cut everyone else down so they can look them in the eye. Although, to be fair, they've been acting more cagey than usual lately, hiding out in meetings with strange suits from other departments. It's probably just part of their ongoing game of bureaucracy, whose goal is the highest stakes of all, a fully vested civil service pension and early retirement.
What was it about? She demands.
Do you have Game Andy's redshift clearance? I ask. If not, I can't tell you.
But you were in Milton Keynes, she jabs. You told me that.
Did I? I roll my eyes. Well, maybe and maybe not. I couldn't possibly comment.
What's so interesting about Milton Keynes? She continues.
Not much, I shrug. It's made of concrete and it's very, very boring. She relaxes almost imperceptibly.
Make sure you get all the paperwork filed and billed to the right account, she tells me.
I will have before I leave this afternoon at 2, I reply, rubbing in the fact that I'm on flexitime. Angleton's a much more alarming but also understanding manager to work for. Due to the curse of matrix management, I can't weasel out completely from under Bridget's bony thumb, but I must confess I get a kick out of having my other boss pull rank on her. What was this meeting about? I ask slyly, hoping she'll rise to it.
You should know, you're the administrator who set up the mailing list, she throws right back at me.
Oops.
Mr. McLuhan's here to help us. He's from Q Division, to help us prepare for our Business Software Alliance audit.
Our... I stop dead and turn to face her, the coffee machine gurgling at my back.
Our audit with who? The Business Software Alliance, she says smugly. CESG outsourced our COTS application infrastructure 5 months ago, contingent on us following official best practices for ensuring quality and value in enterprise resource management. As you were too busy to look after things, Bridget asked Q Division to help out. Mr. McLuhan is helping us sort out our licensing arrangements in line with guidelines from procurement. He says he's able to run a full BSA-certified audit on our systems and help us get our books in order.